Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you for bringing everyone here today to Advent Hope. Lord, we pray that in this message today that Jesus would be lifted up. We pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, because we know that we are living just at the close of time. And you are calling each and every one of us to do our part to take the gospel to the world. So, Father, we pray that you would just be with us now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know what happened this past week? Does anybody know where this picture is from? Just by maybe a show of hands. Anybody want to guess? Andrew Blumberg, I see your hand went up first. Where is that, Andrew? Ascension Rock in upstate New York. That's right, at the William Miller Farm. Have any of you ever been there by chance? A few of you have. This is one of our Adventist heritage sites. And by the way, I would encourage you to go if you get a chance to. But this last week, actually last Sabbath, we had the 175th anniversary celebration. Now, I don't know if you would call it a celebration, but it was a commemoration of 175 years since when? Since the Great Disappointment, October 22, 1844. Now, the purpose of the message today is not to go through the history of that, but I do want to tie something in very important. Now, this is William Miller's farm here, the house behind you that you see in this picture. And of course, they call it the birthplace of Adventism in America. But you know, the story, and by the way, we had over 1,000 there last Sabbath. Elder Wilson preached. We had Dwayne Esmond from the White Estate preach. The theme, Thy Kingdom Come. It was wonderful. But the story of William Miller. Now, without telling the full story of William Miller, I want to focus in on one particular aspect. How many of you know a little bit about William Miller? Okay. Was he a preacher? I'm hearing no's and yes. He did preach, but was he a trained preacher? Was he a pastor? No. He was a farmer, right? He was a layman. In fact, talking of ASI, William Miller was your consummate ASI member. He was a layman who was interested in God's work. Now, he wasn't always interested. Some of you may have heard his story. He was actually a deist, believed that God kind of created the world and just let it run on its own. Many of our founding fathers were deists. But he had an amazing experience in the War of 1812 where he almost lost his life. And that experience led him to believe in God and believe that God was actually preserving his life for something very important. And you'll remember if you've read his story that William Miller decided that he wanted to go through the Bible verse by verse to understand what the Bible was saying. And so he goes through the Bible verse by verse by verse. And if you go to his house, you can actually stand in the very room and at the very desk where William Miller went into his Bible and studied verse by verse, where Ellen White says that angels guided him as he studied. And it was there that William Miller found that precious truth in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Now, of course, we know that the Millerites understood that. William Miller and those who later followed him, they understood that to mean that Jesus would come in about the year 1843 or 1844. We won't go through the whole history of how that movement developed and how they ended up setting dates, and eventually they settled in 1844. First it was April, then that didn't happen, and then finally they set a new date in October, and it took William Miller a long time to accept that that October date was real. But of course, October 22, 1844 came and went, and Jesus didn't come. But William Miller wrote these words, which are on the screen here, after the great disappointment. If you can imagine the disappointment that the believers felt when Jesus didn't come back on that day. William Miller did not lose faith in the fact that Jesus would still come. He said, I have fixed my eyes on another time. And here I mean to stand until God gives me more light. Today, 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 until he comes. That's what William Miller said. He believed in the soon coming of Jesus until the day he died. And Ellen White says that angels actually guard the precious dust of his tomb. So William Miller, the farmer turned preacher. Now here's what I want to tell you today. William Miller didn't actually want to preach. Did you know that? He didn't want to preach. He studied the Bible. He found the truth of Daniel 8:14, but he didn't want to preach. He actually was scared, but he prayed a prayer, which is a very dangerous prayer to pray. He said, Lord, I'm going to make a deal. if within half an hour, I'm gonna say, Lord, if within half an hour no one comes and says to me, Father Miller, we want you to preach, I'm released from this burden of having to preach. I'm not going to preach about these prophecies. Well, it's a dangerous thing to make a deal with God, right? Because guess what? William Miller prayed that prayer and there was a knock on the door. Many of you have heard this story. A young man had come. What was he asking him to do? To preach, and not only to preach, because he had preached before, but to preach about the prophecies. And Miller was so upset. He was like, And so he goes out into that maple grove at his house, and he wrestles with God. But as the old saying goes, as one of our pioneers wrote about that incident, he went into the maple grove a farmer, and he came out a preacher. But I want you to catch this, you guys. William Miller was a layperson. He was not especially gifted at speaking, but what did he have? He had a willing heart. He answered the call of God. He was willing to go where God sent him. Like it says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's how William Miller responded to the Holy Spirit working in his life. And he believed that Jesus was coming soon. Brothers and sisters, do you and I still believe 175 years later that Jesus is coming soon? Amen. Advent Hope, do you believe that? Amen. Are we Seventh-day Adventists? Amen. And it's amazing if you look at the history of our church, how God took the disappointment of the Millerite movement and turned it into an appointment, amen, to take the gospel to the world. God brought together the precious truths of the Sabbath, of the state of the dead, of the sanctuary into a beautiful package of truth powered by the belief that Jesus is still coming soon. And friends, I believe today that he is still coming soon. That is why we are Seventh-day Adventists. Amen? By the way, there's one other church that is still operating that comes out of the Advent movement. They're the Advent Christian Church. I just learned this last weekend, but there's only about 50,000 of them. But we are a church of over 20 million and growing. God is at work in this movement. Amen? I want to turn your attention to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Verses that talk about the soon coming of Jesus and our part that God is calling us to play. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, and then we will look at verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So what does that mean, friends? God is long-suffering. In other words, God is patient. Amen? God is patient. He wants as many as possible to come to repentance, to be there when he comes. Jesus loves everyone, and he wants as many as can to be there, ready for his soon return. So God is long-suffering. He's not slack, but he's long-suffering. "Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for," and this is the key word here, what does it say? Hastening the coming day of God. Advent Hope, I want to ask you today, do you and I have a part to play in hastening the coming of Jesus? Is it possible, and I realize that God is sovereign, and He alone, the Father alone knows the day and the hour when Jesus is coming, amen? Never believe it, by the way, if someone tells you that they know exactly when Jesus is coming, because no one does except the Father. But we have a part to play in the coming of Christ. If God's church will rise up to the calling of taking the gospel to the world, Jesus can come sooner. If we would stop being distracted and taken down by the things of this world, it enables God to work more powerfully in our generation so that he can come. It is time to go home. And the message of the Millerite movement, the message that Christ is coming again, is still just as relevant today in 2019 as it was in 1844. And we as a Seventh-day Adventist church have been called to take this message to the world. This verse, Matthew 24:14, you guys know this. Please say it with me together. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." So we are told in this verse, Jesus says that the gospel must be preached to where? all the world, to all nations. The Greek literally says in this verse, ta ethnos, which means to every ethnic group in the world. Do you realize that we still have a long way to go? Do you realize that the Bible is only translated in 600-something languages? But there's over 8,000 languages in the world. We have a long way to go, friends, but God is working powerfully in our generation. And I believe, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the world can be reached in this generation as we trust in God and as we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you a question today. As we go through the message, I want to ask you this question. How do we take the gospel to the world? There was something in that circle, but it disappeared. Sorry about that. The first key is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing that we need to pray for. Remember what Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, God gave them this promise, and of course we know the day of Pentecost came, and God poured out His Holy Spirit as they prayed and as they united together, as they put away their differences, as they humbled themselves. God was able to pour out His Spirit, and they began the work of reaching the world. And in a generation, the entire Roman world was reached with the gospel. But as time went on, and as the Christian church continued to develop, and of course, as we look at church history, we see the stumbles and the growth of the church over the last 2,000 years. We've seen how the Holy Spirit has moved upon each succeeding generation to move them to take the gospel further and further to more and more people. And not only that, God has moved in every generation to use new methods and new technologies to reach more and more people with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's an interesting question, and you guys know I work for Adventist World Radio, right? Now, for thousands of years, well, let me say, from the time of Christ up until, let's say, the middle of the Middle Ages, around the time when Gutenberg invented the movable type, what was the fastest way that they could communicate the gospel? Word of mouth, right? Word of mouth. I could shout it, or I could hand copy it and give it to my friends, or give it, you know what I'm saying? With the invention of the movable type, now we were able to print the gospel and share it more readily. With each advance in technology, the church, God has moved His church to use the advances in those technologies to speed up the proclamation of the gospel. Isn't that right? So with the invention of the printing press, that enabled us to print, and to get the gospel more quickly into the various parts of the world. Now still, if you imagine this with me, even in the last 100 years, you look at the span of human history until about 100 years ago, the fastest way you could hear the gospel, the only way you could hear it was by what? Me talking to you without a microphone, right? There was no recordings. We don't have, recordings of Ellen White or our pioneers, sorry, Arden, speaking. But imagine, think about the advancement of technology just in the last 100 years. And then, of course, we saw the invention of radio and the way that radio enabled us to reach into the furthest corners of the earth very quickly. And that's where the vision of taking the radio and television eventually to reach into all these parts of the earth came. You know, the Adventist Church with HMS Richards started the first syndicated radio broadcast. That was KNX right here in Southern California. And it grew and grew until the Voice of Prophecy, of course, came out of that. And HMS Richards had a vision to take radio and to use radio to reach into the furthest parts of the world. And that vision became the foundation of what is today Adventist World Radio. This, you see on the screen a picture from Guam. These are our shortwave towers that literally reach over a third of the world's population from this one location. Have any of you been to Guam, just out of curiosity? We have a few of you. Amen, amen. Yes, I see some very enthusiastic Guamanians. Is that right, Carlos? Guamanians, yes. So it's a beautiful place, but shortwave continues to reach into the hardest to reach countries of the world. Not only shortwave, but AWR broadcasts on more than 1,000 stations in over 100 languages around the world. I would ask you please pray for Adventist World Radio. Pray for the ministry of reaching the hardest to reach places. Our motto is no walls, no borders, and no limits, because the gospel needs to go everywhere. Amen? The gospel needs to go everywhere. In fact, I wasn't going to share this story, but I'll just share this with you. Some people say shortwave is outdated, and it is getting to be an old technology, but it's still working to reach people. Just a few months ago, we heard a story from Afghanistan where there had been a group of former Taliban who started listening to Adventist World Radio on their shortwave radios. They were listening in their homes. They studied and they began to believe what they were hearing. They started meeting together in about 50 or 60 of them until the Taliban threatened to kill them because they were becoming Christians. Now these believers are still meeting and they're still growing their numbers, but they're meeting secretly in homes. But they've never had an Adventist missionary go because it's too dangerous. We've just heard about this through telecommunications, through the internet. But I ask you to pray for these new believers in Afghanistan. Amen? God is at work. God is at work, you guys, reaching people around the world. But even though shortwave and the traditional forms of radio are doing amazing things still, we are seeing incredible new advances in technology. Amen? Think just for a moment how fast the world can be reached from right here. Literally, in your pockets, all of you right now have a publishing house. You ever think about that? You can reach the world right from your phone. And so we're trying to enter new ways of using technology and social media to empower lay people to take the gospel literally around the world. I could tell you so many stories, and I'll save a little bit for the end, of people who are using their cell phones to literally reach communist rebels, assassins in South America, people who are in darkness and needing the truth, thousands of people coming to Christ because people are sending them messages, sermons through their cell phones. It's incredible what God is doing. But what I want you guys to know is that through all of these avenues of technology, no matter what is out there that God is using to get the message to the world, one thing remains the same. God is calling each one of us to do our part. Amen? We reach the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has been moving on every generation since the generation of the apostles to take the gospel to the world. But we must have the Holy Spirit. But secondly, we must be willing to go where God leads us. Now at Adventist World Radio, we have a new focus. We've taken, historically, our focus of broadcasting, and we've combined that with the focus of total member involvement, or TMI. Do you guys know what TMI is? Okay, no, it's not too much information, nor is it, as Dwayne McKee says, too many people in Indianapolis. That'll be true next summer. It is total member involvement. Amen? Total member involvement. In other words, every member doing something for the gospel. So AWR, broadcasting the gospel via airwaves, reaching the unreached, plus church members connecting people to the local churches, because the local churches is where it's at. Amen? Advent Hope. That's where the rubber meets the road, equals completing the cycle of the circle of evangelism, connecting the dots. AWR 360, the reason we changed our name is to indicate that it's not just a one-directional thing, it's a circle. We must bring people from broadcast all the way to baptism, amen? That's what we're called to do. Now, a couple of quick illustrations of how God has been working recently. Have any of you been to Zambia? Any of you been to Zambia? Okay, a few hands. Africa in general. Have you been to Africa? Africa is a wonderful place. I'd encourage you, if you get a chance to go on a mission trip, please take it. We were in Zambia last summer. We had 1,000 evangelistic meetings in the capital city of Lusaka. 1,000 in one city. Most of them done by lay people. And you know, the people early on in the planning, they said it's not going to work because it's in the winter time for Zambia. And the local people were skeptical, but we said, no, we got to press forward. And eventually they got on board and they said, yes, we're going to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm standing here before you today. They had the largest baptism in years. 18,000 were baptized in this pool last summer. Amen? Amen? The amazing thing is about that baptism, I was in the pool, you guys. I was in the pool. I can tell you firsthand, the water was freezing cold in Africa. It was freezing cold, and I was in the pool for 2.5 hours baptizing. And we're not talking about long, you know, very emotional baptisms. These are like, whoosh, okay, next, the deaconess takes them. Okay, next, whoosh, this is like mass baptism, okay? But there, I mean, it's powerful. It's a wonderful experience. But at the end, what you saw at the beginning, the color of the water was blue. At the end, dark brown. Those sins were being washed away in the waters of baptism, and those people were coming to life in Christ. God is good. Amen. Well, friends, that was Zambia. I want to point out the next key in taking the gospel to the world. So number one, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number two, we need to follow Christ's method alone. Now, you guys, this is Loma Linda. Praise the Lord. Can I get a witness? This is Loma Linda. Yes? All right. Let's go. Here we go. Loma Linda, theme statement, Christ's method alone. Amen. Whose method? Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. What did the Savior do? He mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. But he didn't stop there. It says, then he bade them follow me. This is the charter for medical missionary work. This is why we have Loma Linda. Because God has told us that we cannot just preach. We must show people the practical love of Jesus. We must meet their physical needs. We must show them sympathy, win their confidence, and then bid them follow me. That is why this institution, when it started, it was the College of? Thank you, the College of Medical Evangelists. You are not just doctors. You are not just nurses. You are not just psychologists or psychiatrists or whatever you are. You are medical evangelists. Amen. You are business evangelists. Whatever your profession, you are called to be an evangelist and use it for Christ. This is what we are called to do. And so AWR, we said we cannot just go into towns and cities and do broadcast and do evangelism. We need to show them the practical love of Jesus. And so, by God's grace, how many of you have heard of Your Best Pathway to Health? Amen. Some of you have. Your Best Pathway to Health is a large-scale mega clinic that has been taking place for the last few years. They go into a city and they set up a mobile hospital and they treat thousands of people with medical dental, free medical dental and eye care. It's incredible. I've been blessed to be a part of this ministry over the last few years here in North America. But we said we want to take this idea of a large mega clinic, combine it with the broadcasting and the evangelism, and take it on the road. Because the world needs to see how much Jesus cares for them. Amen? And so last year we went to the Philippines. Praise God, we went to the Philippines. I love the Philippines. Amen? Any Filipinos in the house today? I see you. Praise the Lord. We love the Philippines, and I love your food. Mega clinic in Palawan, Puerto Princesa. Over 10,000 people came in 3 days last summer. Do you know how many volunteers we had? Just 300. 300 volunteers, but over 10,000 patients came. And here's the amazing thing, you guys. They came, and they came in droves. We did free medical care, free dental care. But what was really awesome is that we didn't just leave it there. You see, here's a story for you. June, Brother June, we'll call him. I don't actually know his actual name, but June. Filipinos will understand, June. He was in a wheelchair from the time he was born. He was always crippled. And he led a pretty rough life. He got married and had a family, but he was never able to really work because he was crippled. Actually, I got that wrong. He didn't have a wheelchair. He was just crippled. Do you follow me? They didn't have money for a wheelchair, but he was just crippled his whole life. Never could work, never could do anything really productive. Well, one day, early last year, the family for the first time received a wheelchair. Oh, you said wheelchair. You're getting ahead of me. Radio. AWR. Amen. It's a radio. They received a radio. And they began listening to the radio. And Brother June heard on the radio about a medical clinic that was coming to downtown Puerto Princesa. And he was so excited. He thought, maybe I can actually see a doctor, because he hadn't been able to see a doctor in years. They didn't have money for that. And so the whole family went to the medical clinic. And they saw a doctor and they were prayed for. But more than that, they felt the love of Jesus. And at the medical clinic, for the first time ever, he was offered his very own wheelchair. And Brother June was so moved by the love that he felt at that clinic. When he was invited to the evangelistic meetings that started the next Friday night, he brought his whole family. And they came every single night to the evangelistic meetings. And I can tell you today that Brother June was baptized, carried into the water by his friends at the end of that evangelistic meeting. And today he is a Seventh-day Adventist because he experienced the practical love of Jesus through the medical ministry and then was invited to follow Christ. What do you say? Amen. That is what we're called to do. Amen. Now, I'll just tell you, those preachers in Philippines, and I'll go through this quick, my time is going, but they were not professional evangelists, they were students. In fact, They were students. Many of them were from Australia. And just one quick illustration to tell you how inexperienced they were. One of them, actually, the leader of the group, I wouldn't encourage you if you lead a mission trip to do this, but the leader of the group actually told them when they were in Australia, he said, come to the Philippines. It'll be a fun trip. We'll go around. We'll meet people. You might preach here or there, but just come. And one of these young men thought, okay, great. Like, he had never preached before. He said, I may have to preach once, but at least I'll come and have a good trip. He didn't know he was signing up to preach an entire evangelistic meeting. So when he gets there, he finds out that he's preaching an entire evangelistic meeting. And you know what? He was a good sport. He said, okay, I'll try it. But he got to the topic of the Sabbath. And this young man had been going through a very hard time in his life. He'd been struggling with things back home, struggling with addiction, struggling with partying hard and all this stuff. And he had not really been close to Christ. He told our group leader, he said, you know, I just don't feel like I can preach this message on the Sabbath. I don't believe in it, frankly. What do you do in that case? He's already been preaching, and now he says he doesn't believe in the Sabbath. What do we do? Well, thankfully, Sue Hinkle, our group leader, she had a lot of wisdom. She said, I won't say his name, okay, because he's, but she said to this young man, son, just read it. Even if you don't believe it, just read it tonight. Read the sermon and see what God does. He was kind of frustrated, but he said, okay, fine, I'll just read it. Do you know what happened, friends? That night after he came back preaching, reading that sermon, he came in at the end of the night, as all the preachers do, they come into the hotel, and Sue saw him. And do you know what he said? She said, how did it go? And he said, I believe in the Sabbath now more than I ever could. I was convicted as I was preaching that sermon. And you know what, friends? Every single doctrine, as he preached those messages, he became convicted that that was the truth. As he shared, his conviction deepened, and he is a committed Seventh-day Adventist today. Because by God's grace, as we do God's work, as we do our part to share, God uses that experience, amen, to strengthen our own spiritual walk. So I want to encourage you guys, maybe you don't think you could preach, maybe you don't think you can give a Bible study, but all you need to have is a willing heart. William Miller, right? He was a farmer. He wasn't a preacher, but look what God did through him. What can God do through you? How many of you guys would like to have that opportunity to preach for Jesus someday? Amen? You may not have been able to, but I want to encourage you, take those opportunities you get and step out in faith, and God will bless you in a mighty way. So God blessed in a huge way in the Philippines. Over 500 were baptized at the end of that series. We're moving quickly now. This was this past summer in India, and we did another medical clinic there in India, and we were treating people there as well in Chennai, India, and the Lord blessed in a powerful way. India is a much harder place to do evangelism. I do want to show you a quick video. This is 20 seconds. How long is anybody here an eye surgeon or in the eye industry? Is that a word? No, not industry. specialty, sorry. How long does it take to do a cataract surgery? 15 minutes. All right. What would you say if I told you that I know a doctor that can do it in less than 5 minutes? Yes. How about less than 4 minutes? How about less than 3 minutes? Try 2 minutes. Amen? Yes. Now behold, cataract surgeries done in less than 2 minutes. This is a time-lapse video done with my iPhone. This is Dr. Jacob Prabhakar. Watch him as he moves from one patient to the next. Okay, boom, patient's down, over to the next patient. Patient's up, patient's down, moving over. Here he goes. Back to the next patient. There he is. Okay, patient's up, patient's down, moving to the back to the next patient. Okay, boom, 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 back and forth. 46 patients in 2 hours, amen? 46 patients. Now, you think that's good? Dr. Prabhakar has operated on over 500 people in one day. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Dr. Jacob not only believes in healing the physical sight, but he wants them to be restored spiritually. Amen? And so all of these people, they come to the evangelistic meetings with their glasses, right? You know that they have been seen by Dr. Jacob because of their glasses. And they come walking in smiling. They hadn't been seeing for years, but now they're able to see. But more importantly, they're able to see spiritually because we teach them about Jesus. Amen? And some of these precious souls were baptized as a result of the series. That's Elder Ted Wilson preaching in Calcutta, a city of 15 million with only 200 Seventh-day Adventists. Do we have a work to do in Calcutta? But do you know, by God's grace, now we have 230 Seventh-day Adventists because we had 30 baptisms out of this series. Some of those came through the cataract surgery. Amen. And there's a couple of them right there on my left. Precious people that love the Lord and are growing in their faith today. and coming to Christ. God is moving in a powerful way. I want to tell you very quickly, I'm mindful of the time, but our focus, I've taken you back through what happened this year and last year, but this year we're going to be in 2020, Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea, a country that has tremendous, tremendous needs. This is the Mount Hagen General Hospital. I was there just a month ago. Friends, this hospital is, in the words of Dr. Leela, atrocious, okay? They try their best, but this is a rough, rough place. They were so excited when they heard that we're coming to do a medical clinic in Mount Hagen, PNG. Now, how many of you want to come? Okay, I saw a few hands. Amen. I thought you all raised your hands, but that's okay. All right. I do want to invite you. This medical clinic is March 26, 27, 28, 29, 2020. It has been put exactly at the time of Loma Linda spring break. You know why? Because we want Loma Linda to come. No more excuses. Dr. Hart endorsed this message. All right. These are some of the beautiful people of PNG. They struggle with chewing betel nuts, so their teeth are red. And you see this red junk on the ground everywhere you go. The people are very sincere, but they struggle. They have basic health issues, public health issues, hygiene, sanitation, dental issues, but they really need our help, friends. If you can come and be a part of this effort, I'd encourage you to be involved. I'll show you a slide at the end with more info, okay? Here we are. There's Dr. Leela, myself, a couple of the locals, and we are at the site where we're going to have this mega clinic. Do you know how many people they wanted to have come? We thought we had a big vision with Your Best Pathway to Health. They wanted 100,000 patients. And we said, okay, guys, wait just a minute, 100,000, that's a lot, you know. But it's probably not going to be that much, praise the Lord. But we'll treat as many people as we can, amen? Now, here's the other thing. PNG, I want you to pray because they have a huge vision for how to reach their country. Do you know that one conference alone, by the way, how many members in the Southeastern California Conference, do you know? We're in the Southeastern California Conference, just to put some context, amen? Lay people, let's do some church education. All right, 70,000 approximately in Southeastern California. Do you know, in PNG, in one conference alone, it's not even a conference, it's a mission, guess how many people they have in baptismal classes? Anyone want to guess? More, Arden? How many do you think? Take 50,000. 50,000 in one mission in baptismal classes already in preparation for next year. Do you know they built 300 churches in one conference? In preparation for next year, but now all those churches are already filled. They anticipate that the need will be for over 2,000 new churches after next year. Their baptismal goal is over 200,000. If that happens, and we don't know if that'll happen, but if that happens, it will be the largest single baptism in the history of the Adventist Church. Now, if someone says to you that the Lord is not moving in our generation, God is moving. He may not be moving in the same way everywhere, in the same numbers, but God is moving. Amen? He's looking for people who have a willing heart. And the people in PNG are willing and they have faith. So friends, I want you to pray for PNG. And if you can come in the medical clinic, if you can come for the evangelism, which by the way is May 1 to 16, 2020. Elder Wilson is preaching a series in Mount Hagen. We'll have other sites. AS Young Professionals, by the way, this group that you saw here, they will be coordinating a remote mountain site. If you like camping, amen. Can I get a, are there some campers out there? Are you good with the bush? Let me tell you, PNG is the bush, okay? We're not, even the 5-star is like a negative star hotel, okay? But I'm telling you, you guys, God is going to move in powerful ways in PNG. They have these shirts that say, soul winning is our my business, amen? It's all of our business. Soul winning is all of our business. PNG for Jesus 2020. We're moving quickly. How do we take the gospel to the world? Point number three, we must recognize that each one of us is called total member involvement. That's the spirit that's there in PNG, each one of them doing their part. They don't have to be a pastor. They don't have to be a Bible worker. But everybody, no matter if they're a business person or a medical person or a teacher or a lawyer, everybody recognizes that they need to do their part to share Jesus with their friends and their neighbors. Amen? You are a chosen generation, 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is what God is calling us to be, friends. Each one of us recognizing that we are a chosen generation. Now, I'm going to have to move past some very powerful stories because of time. Can I just share this really quick? All right. You guys have to hear this. This is like the quick, fast version. Okay, there's a lady in a church in Tanzania. Her pastor is preaching. The pastor says, all of you need to be involved in evangelism. This lady, she doesn't know what to do because she doesn't have many gifts or talents for God. But she prays. She said, Lord, use me. I want to follow what the pastor is saying. I want to use my gifts for God. Well, what she does have is a garden. And at that garden, she goes every day and she tills the soil and she plants her vegetables. And you know what she does when she's in the garden? She puts in the middle of the garden something very special. Does anybody want to guess what that might be? A radio. Good guess. I don't know how you guys knew that. And she turned up the radio. And guess what was next to the garden? Good guess, another garden. Actually, it was a bar. And these lousy old men were in the bar drinking their lives away. And they are listening to the radio that this precious lady puts in the middle of her garden. And you know what? Eventually, one day, the owner of the bar, okay, there's the radio, I'm getting behind myself. There's the bar. He's listening and he says, you know what? What is that message that I'm hearing in that? Who is this lady? She is doing this. And he starts listening. And he realizes that the message is very powerful. And so then more of the guys, they're still drinking, but they're listening. And eventually he says, you know what? Forget this. We need to get our own radio. We can't hardly hear hers. Let's get our own. So he buys his own radio, tunes it to AWR in the middle of the bar. Now they're drinking and they're listening to AWR. Now here's the problem. You can't keep drinking and listening to the gospel for too long. So eventually they give up their drinking. Amen. And they're listening to the radio. They get Bibles and they start studying the Bible in the bar. And eventually they said, you know what? Forget this. We need to become Seventh-day Adventists. And so they go to the local Adventist church and they are baptized. Amen? Amen. Not only that, but today the bar is a church. They planted a church in the bar. Amen. God is good. That is the power of the gospel, friends. That is the power of the gospel. But you know what? If that lady had not been willing to just use what little she had, God would have never reached those guys. You know, I've seen this time and time and time again as a pastor. It's not about your abilities. It's about your willingness. Because God can use you if only you say, Lord, use me. Now, I want to close with one final story. I'm going to blast past. These are some of the first believers in Sikkim, which is in India. They were reached through Facebook. Amen? God is using social media to reach people around the world. I wish I could share that full story with you. The work of God in this earth, friends, Gospel Workers 3:52, I want you to remember this quote. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership, what? Rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. In other words, Ellen White says that the work will never be finished until all of us, men and women, answer the call of God. Do our part. Because there are people that only you can reach. There are people that only you can reach in your sphere of influence. You may not be a Mark Finley. You may not be a Doug Batchelor. You may not be even a Neil Dudley doctor. But God can use you to reach someone for Christ if you are willing to be used by Him. Amen? Here's how HMS Richards put it. The work will never be finished until all the preachers are put in jail. Hey, I mean, you know, there's some truth to that. All right. So, how do we take the gospel to the world? Number one, the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we follow Christ's method. Amen. Number three, we recognize that each one of us is called TMI, total member involvement. And number four, we need to be willing to go wherever He leads. Matthew 16:25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That is what Matthew says. And Isaiah 6:8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. This is what William Miller said, amen? He was willing to answer the call of God. He was willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Are you and I willing to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Wherever you want to send me, I'm willing to go. I want to close with this final story. Ryan, can I, one final story, am I good? Okay. How many of you know the country of North Korea? All right, North Korea. North Korea is a very difficult place for the gospel. We actually are not even able to broadcast currently into North Korea because our signal gets jammed by China. But we still broadcast shortwave. And a few years ago, we were actually broadcasting on an AM station directing it into North Korea. Praise the Lord. There was there's a place on the northern border of North Korea with China where there is a river. And this river is crossed by people from North Korea who are trying to escape. They're trying to escape for freedom. And these people, they swim the river. But if they're caught, they're sent back to prison. If they're caught, actually, there's a three-strike rule. First time, they're sent back to prison. Second time, they're punished more severely. But if they're caught a third time, they're executed. Now, there was a young lady named Kim. Kim desired freedom, and she wanted to escape so she could make it out of North Korea, escape to Mongolia, and then make her way to South Korea so she could earn money and help her family. That's what she wanted more than anything. Now, when she escaped, she was not a Christian. She did not know God. But she tried to escape the first time. She was caught. She was sent back to the prison. They warned her, "Don't try this again. Something worse will happen to you." Do you think that stopped Kim? No. She tried a second time. She swam. She tried going in the cover of darkness, but someone with a light found her, and they captured her and took her back. She was punished more severely. They warned her. They said, "Kim, you try this again, you will be killed next time if you are caught. Do not do that. Do not try to escape again." Do you think that stopped Kim? No. She wanted what? She wanted freedom. And so, for the third time, at the risk of her life, under the cover of darkness, she swam the river a third time. This time, she made it. And she made it to the Chinese border. And you know, there was a very kind Chinese family that took her into their home. And as she was in that home for several months, they gave her a very precious gift. What do you think it might be?
A radio.
A radio. Amen. You guys are smart, man, I tell you. Advent Hope, Loma Linda. She's listening to the radio. And as she's tuning it, she finds the familiar words of the Korean language. The amazing thing about that testimony is that there was another young person named Kim. This time it was a guy, not a girl. But he had also escaped North Korea. And he was found in Seoul just last summer. And he was someone studied the Bible with him. He heard the testimony of this Kim and how she gave her life because she wanted to share the gospel with her family in North Korea. And this young man, by God's grace, today is studying at Samuk University because he wants to go back to North Korea. He wants to swim the river the other direction in honor of Kim to reach his family for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, today, I don't know where your North Korea is. Most of us will never go to North Korea. But it's not North Korea North Korea we need to reach. Amen? North Korea we need to reach. But the whole world needs to be reached. There are people, even here in Loma Linda, your North Korea may be right here. There are people that God has put in your life. God has given you a calling. God has given you abilities. Some of you, God has placed here at Loma Linda University with incredible gifts that He has given you. God is calling you to use those gifts to fulfill Kim's dream, to take the gospel to the world in this generation. Like William Miller, you may not think you have everything it takes, but you need to be willing to answer the call of God on your life. Like William Miller and like Kim, we must fix our eyes upon another time. Today, 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 until He comes. This is God's calling for the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. Advent Hope, will you answer the call of God? Will you go where God wants you to go? Will you say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go wherever you send me." Friends, please, I'm giving you these opportunities. These are a few of the opportunities you can get involved with. Take a picture of it. Remember these dates. Whatever it is, get involved. Use your talents and your gifts for Jesus. He must come. And we pray it is in our generation. Amen. We can hasten the coming of Christ if we answer the call. I'm going to close now, but I have three appeals. Number one, friends, I want to ask if there is someone here today that you've been convicted that God is calling you. God wants you to use your gifts to lead someone in your sphere of influence, to lead them to Christ, to help them to know Jesus. If there's someone that God lays on your heart, even just now, actually, let's just bow our heads and let's just have this a moment with you and Jesus, okay? If God is calling you, friends, to use your gifts, and there's someone He's put on your heart, like Kim, who wanted to reach her family and her friends back home in North Korea, there is someone in your life, someone that you know that you need to reach out to. Maybe it's this afternoon, you need to call them. Maybe you need to write them an email. Maybe you need to go make a visit. But God is calling you to reach someone. for Christ that you know, would you just raise your hand in a show of commitment? The Lord sees your hands. The Lord sees your hands. Amen. You can put them down. It may be giving a Bible study. It may just be helping them, but God is calling you to reach that person for Christ. May God empower you to answer that call. Here's my second appeal. Many of you here have been called to mission service. There are some here today who God is calling to dedicate their lives to mission. And I'm not just talking about necessarily short term. Maybe God is calling you to go long term somewhere, someplace around the world. But whatever it is, whether it's short term or long term, you feel the call. God is tugging on your heart to be a missionary. Like Kim, you want to answer the call to be a missionary, to reach others for Christ somewhere else. I pray that you would just stand to your feet right now. Just as we're closing, just stand to your feet. If you sense the call of God to be a missionary for Him, just stand up right where you are. God bless you all. God bless you. The Lord needs a generation of missionaries. Ellen White says there should be 1,000 where there is now one. If God is calling you to be a missionary, short term or long term, just stand up right where you are. God can use you. God can use you. And finally, my appeal to all of us here today. If you have been touched today and you want to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to respond. I want you to use me however it is, whatever it may take. I'm willing to go, Lord, here I am. Send me. I put my talents on the altar this morning. Would you just stand to your feet if that's you? If you want to put everything on the altar for God this morning, Lord Jesus, use me. Here I am. Send me. God will answer your prayer. He will empower you through the Holy Spirit to be His messengers until the day that Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this morning, your people have stood before you. Lord, we thank you for the amazing calling that you've placed on each and every one of our lives. Father, we are not worthy of the trust that you have given us to take the gospel to the world. Father, we are broken people. We're sinful, but by your grace, you have saved us. You have cleansed us with your righteousness, and you have empowered us. You have called us, and you have chosen us to take the three angels' messages to the very ends of the earth in this generation. And Father, there are some standing here today who are going to be called to go to hard places, maybe even closed countries, maybe places where it's not going to be easy. Father, I pray that you would seal their decision to be a missionary for you. Help them to follow through with that decision and empower them as they step forward in faith. Father, there are some who have stood and who have raised their hands because they want to reach their friends and their family for Jesus. Lord, help them as they made that commitment today. Lord, help us to realize that we only have one life to live and every day counts. Lord, help us to use every ounce of our energy and our abilities to reach souls for Christ, because that's the only thing that matters in the end. Nothing else matters, Lord. None of the stuff of this world matters except for the people we can take with us to heaven. Father, please empower this generation. Empower your Seventh-day Adventist Church with the fire of the Holy Spirit so that we can see the latter rain poured out in this generation and we can see Jesus coming in the clouds, Lord. Please, we pray for that, not because we are worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. And Jesus, because you want to come back even more than we want you to come back. Lord, seal our decision today. Fill us with the Spirit and send us forth with your power and your strength. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.